This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chimby Checo. We have a good one for you today. The NFL draft happened. We got some movement in the transfer portal. So we got some stuff to discuss, man. It's going to be a great show. How you doing, Chim?
I'm doing good. Let's get this kicked off with our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs, basketball, MLB, NHL, hockey, right to UFC and boxing and everything else. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to get in the action. Be sure to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Yeah, man. If you got any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER if you need assistance. If things are getting a little bit out of control, feel free to reach out. But when you are in control, make sure you're making your bets with Bet Online. So, yeah, man. So, first, let's dive into the draft. I'm just going to shoot through a list of basically of our guy, where guys landed, then we can kind of give a little bit of detail on our thoughts. First off, our quarterback, the guy we feel should have been number one overall, but can't complain. He went number two overall, C.J. Stroud, go number two pick to the Texans. Then second off the board for Ohio State, Paris Johnson, our offensive tackle with the sweet feet, athleticism. No one moves like he can move with a guy that size. First offensive tackle taken off the board, number six to Arizona. Then Jackson Smith-Njigba. It's like our guys always got a little tension around him, right? He got story around CJ. He got story around if Paris really the number one offensive tackle. But same thing with Jackson Smith. Obviously, he didn't play much this year due to a tweaked hamstring that he had to get back together. But he's the first wide receiver off the board to the Seahawks, number 20. So those three all go first round for the Buckeyes. You know, kudos to those guys. So obviously you get to see them, got to see them do their thing Thursday night. And then later on we have Zach Harrison. He goes, to Atlanta, third round pick there. I feel like it's a huge upside for Zach. I feel like he could go. He really could go. Then our other offensive tackle goes to the Cleveland Browns in the fourth round, DeJuan Jones. Luke Whipler also goes to the Cleveland Browns as well, sixth round pick. And then the Browns, they was on the road. The Browns was on the road, man, picking up Buckeyes. Free agent signing with Ronnie Hickman, Tanner McAllister as well, free agents to the Browns. Then we also had Cam Brown. Didn't get picked up by the Browns, but he ended up going to the San Diego Chargers. And Jerry Cage, he also signed a free agent deal with the Saints. But hey, I got to shout out the Browns though, man. I'm a Cleveland guy. I wore my Browns shirt. You see that? I wore my Browns shirt today. I've been a Browns fan longer than I've been a Buckeye fan. You know, I grew up in Cleveland, born and raised. So I've been cheering for them a long time. And I'm a good Browns fan. Like when the Browns are bad, I cheer for them. When they're good, I cheer for them. They're really good. And I'm also, by the end of the season, I hate them. I'm mad. Like, I'm done with the Browns. I'm not doing this anymore. And then right when the offseason comes, I get that feeling like yeah, this is all year next year.
Why do you do it? I don't understand.
You know, it's just like, it's almost like religion, man. And I feel like, you know, for guys that's a true fans to the Browns, like, you just watch them no matter what. Like, every Sunday, you know, you just got these memories of, you know, with my grandfather, my uncle, my brother, my father, my family in general. We all watch the Browns games and we talk about them. We get mad at them. They should be doing this. They should be doing this. And the Browns are always one of those teams that gets super creative on how to lose games. It's always amazing.
They know how to lose. Creative. They've mastered losing, no matter how good the roster is. Mm-hmm. Let's see if they ever master winning. I was a Saints fan growing up, so shout out to Cage getting picked up by the Saints. I call it the Saints Buckeye South because
they
got a ton of Ohio State players. I see the Browns are trying to take the same approach.
I mean, usually they don't do that, and usually it's like rare that you get a Buckeye on the Browns. And yeah, so I think they may be learning. You know, shout out to AB. That's Cleveland's AB, not the Steelers AB. Andrew Berry doing a great job bringing in some great Buckeye talent, man. So, You know, we're excited to see how things go, man. But let's dive into this draft, man. Like I said, we have several different things to discuss here. Obviously, CJ, there's a lot of noise around CJ. Is CJ going to fall? How far he's going to fall? Is he going to fall out the first round? He did bad on the test. He flunked the test, man. And everybody was kind of filling up on that. And they say he
failed the test. CJ failed the test, man.
He failed the test. I never heard the test before this offseason. It's a new test.
First time we've ever heard of this cognition S2 whatever test.
Yeah.
Was when CJ failed that joint, man. He failed that joint. Right? All of that noise, man. It's just crazy how things go, man. I feel like all that noise came out of Indiana. Like, I feel like it was the coach trying to get CJ to fall, because they have an owner who's loud, in my opinion. And I'm glad that CJ number two in the draft, number one in the hearts.
Number one in the hearts. Right, man.
I was proud.
Yeah. Yeah, very proud. Remember, they started saying he was tough to coach. And I was like, what? They say he was tough to coach because he was confident in the ball. He's tough to coach. Why? Because he's confident in the ball he's throwing. Like, man, this kind of don't make sense. But obviously, the Houston Texans wasn't really going for it. They was pretty quiet throughout the process. I think they was doing that for usually before trade leverage, right? You know, we might take a quarterback. We might not. We might, you know. And they kind of played that game, man, probably just kind of get the phone ringing. But, you know, when it came to them, they needed a quarterback. I think we talked about their roster last week. Not much there, obviously, with David Mills being their leading guy there. So, yeah, they did the right thing. I think they helped out the team a ton.
I think they considered everything. I think a trade was in the cards because if they trade back, they could get more picks and maybe still land a quarterback and get more players. They have a defensive coach, right? They have a defensive head coach. So he wanted a defensive player. So you saw him move up and grab Will Anderson right after CJ. But obviously they needed a quarterback. And even if they decided they didn't want to pick a quarterback at two, CJ was in Bryce. It's like splitting hairs between the two. At that pick, there's so much value with the quarterback that even if you weren't going to pick him, you got to at least trade back and get a bunch of picks. Right. For that value. So it would have been, to me, it would have been a terrible decision to just not pick a quarterback at two, given who was there. And they made the right decision, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, it's young. It's early, right? Guys got to actually play. And in 3 years, we really evaluate this draft, right? In 3 years, like, you know, all right, what type of production are these guys really giving you? How good did they do at the draft? But obviously, we feel CJ is that guy. And really excited for him because he's going to an exciting situation. As you say, they got a new coach, a young coach, a defensive-minded coach, a guy that used to actually play for the Texans, and D'Amico Ryans. So it's a definitely exciting situation. They are bringing in talent. Obviously, a lot of movement going around with the Texans. You know, they're trying to build this team up. Probably take them a couple years. They're actually going to be good because that's how bunched down they had got. Probably take them a couple of years for them really to kind of, you know, kind of get some pieces in place. But I feel they're going in the right direction with their quarterback, with C.J. Stroud, and with Anderson off the edge. I mean, I think he'll have to change a little bit outside linebacker to more of a traditional D.N. But as we know, he made a lot of plays for Alabama. Definitely a good player.
So. Yeah, yeah. I like the way they're building. Nowadays, I mean, it takes just one more year, for real, if you can – grab some free agents to fill some gaps and whatnot. Paris Johnson going, being the first offensive lineman getting chosen. I think he went to the Cardinals, who I believe also drafted his dad. I don't know how many years back, years ago.
That's news to me. Cool, I didn't. Yeah, that's cool.
Well. And then we had the first receiver off the board as well. Our offense is bad. God, your quarterback at number two. First offensive lineman, first receiver, didn't even play this year, right?
Didn't play, right.
What do you think about that?
I mean, first off, just shout out to Paris Johnson. I was my O-line guy, true and true. And like I said, he's been a good one for a long time. I mean, I think I said it before, like, you know, all he had to do was pick any college and just not go absolutely crazy, and he was going to go to the NFL. But he did things the right way, developed well, came into Ohio State, a highly touted offensive tackle. And to get on the field early, he moved to guard. Played guard for a year, maybe 2 years. Played guard for a year, moved inside, was dominant there, kick out to left tackle. Another great season. So just kudos to him, man, and all the things that he did for Ohio State. Now first being the first offensive tackle off the board. Definitely going into a good situation, I feel like, in Arizona with another team that has some young talent. They got a quarterback that they put a lot of money in, so he'll have to protect that guy. I know some of the guys on the O-line out there. I believe Kevin Beachum is still on the offensive line. I played with him, actually, with the Steelers. And I would just suggest, if Paris, if you're listening, get with Beach and just do everything Beach do, and you would be perfectly fine. The guy works tremendously hard, studies, watches everything, and been doing it for a long time. So, you know, that's my advice to him. Kudos to him. But then for JSN, number one wide receiver off the board, number 20 to Seattle, this problem. I mean, you know, obviously, a lot of noise about is he a first round guy on the list of wide receivers. You know, who's the best one? You know, you kind of this. Everybody had pluses and minuses, you know, when it came to that wide receiver bunch. But I feel like Jackson Smith, who Jimmy, he had done it for several years with some really talented guys, and you actually seen guys like Garrett Wilson, the offensive rookie of the year, just kind of give kudos back to JSN and probably like, yeah, I thought I was really good, the number one guy, and then this guy comes in. Now I'm kind of questioning myself, you know, if I'm the best receiver here at Ohio State, things of that nature, just kind of really just piggybacking how good of a player he actually is. So I think the Seahawks were smart. Obviously, they just kind of invested some money in the quarterback with Geno and don't really know their whole entire wide receiver situation. And now they got the it's the big guy.
Metcalf
out there. So I feel like he could be your number one. I feel like wherever JSN is, I feel like he's going to end up catching the most balls. He's just a really wide receiver here. Really wide receiver that's really friendly to quarterbacks and finding open spots. So he'll get a lot of catches. And then Metcalf will be able to draw some attention, and he'll be able to have a solid year.
So Jackson Smith, I think he becomes more of that slot guy in the NFL, which – and today's more spread type offense is really, really dangerous, right? Because they like you said, they find all the space on the defense, and they can kill you consistently. Third downs, consistently getting first downs, they can, you know, be explosive as well. There was real doubt from scouts across the league as to whether this guy was tough because he didn't come back, or whether he could run fast enough to be able to be considered that high level of a receiver. And every time I heard the noise, and I think it was real, real doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you have to go back to every time is, okay, somebody needs a receiver. Now you're going to have to compare this guy to all the other receivers in the draft. And every time I was like, oh, man, you know, they are questioning him a little bit. Who knows? You know, if he goes as high as we expect. Every time I thought about that, I was like, okay, let me compare him to the other guys in the draft, right? And he's the best receiver. You know what I'm saying? That's, it just really comes down to it. He's the best receiver. Jordan Addison was a good one. The receiver out of Tennessee would win the Blitnikoff or whatever. He's just not – just can't run routes like Jackson Smith. So, at the end of the day, he proved what he could – how he could run. He ran a 4.4. Somebody – I don't know. It was Mel Kiper. Somebody said he was about a 4.5 guy, 4.49. No, if you run 4.49, you're a 4.4 guy. I don't care if it's a hundredth of a second. Once you run that 4.49, you are a 4.4 guy. So, he proved that. And his route running ability is impressive, man. It's top tier. So at the end of the day, you know, I wasn't sure where he was going to go. I just know when you compare him to the other receivers, he's the best receiver. So right. The first person to pick a receiver, that's the guy to get. You know what I'm saying? Simple as that.
Yeah. But then after that, so after Jackson's gets drafted, then three other receivers get drafted in the first round, basically four straight. You got the Quentin Johnson out of TCU. Zay Flowers out of Boston College went to the Ravens. Johnston went to the Chargers. Is in Minnesota, who just love their wide receiver, picks up Jordan Addison out of USC. So, yeah, but I think, you know, obviously with him not playing, you know, the doubt of things of is he's number one guy kind of starts sneaking in. But I think, you know, now it's time for him. He had a year to basically rest, which is you really get time in football to rest, right? So he gets a year to rest and to kind of get himself together. So it'd be excited for him to see what he could do this year. It, to me, he's definitely going to be up in contention if Geno have another year like he had last year for one of those rookie of the year type of out there wide receiver, because I just think he'd put himself in a really good position to make a lot of plays. But then next we got, like I say, Zach Harrison. He goes third round to Atlanta, defensive end for Ohio State. I feel like he has a lot of upside in the NFL. If you look at him with his career, I feel like a lot of times people are really tough on Zach just because he wasn't a Bosa. To be frank, he wasn't a Bosa. And so, you know, those guys are just so talented, make so many plays that you just figure he'll be the next one in line. And obviously he did not have that kind of production. But if you really watch this year, when he won, it was very timely. Whenever there was a chance that the offense the Ohio State was going against, could did something to get themselves back into the game or things of that nature, Zach Harrison usually closed out the game. So when everybody's at their best, he was able to arise to that, win his one-on-one matchup against offensive tackle, and disrupt, either get the sack or make a disruptive play. And I feel like this year, you know, it was a lot of other noise around JT. Everyone wanted to see what Sawyer could do. Harrison definitely was that senior leader to kind of go out there as one of the older guys that has been doing it for a while. And his timely rushes was definitely needed. Great size. He definitely has high-end speed. So just hope he finds himself in a good situation where he could just, you know, go learn a little bit, play a little bit, and kind of take off from there. But next on the list is we want to talk about DeJuan Jones. He falls to the fourth round. Like I say, my Browns, my guys, the Cleveland Browns ended up taking him there. But it was a kind of shocking, right? Personally had him in the first round.
Yeah, I expect him to go earlier. I expect him to go earlier. I mean, you can start looking at you look at it in hindsight. I think he started off at the senior bowl. He had a good first day. I think he didn't participate throughout the practices the rest of the week. He also, you know, was gonna weigh heavy on the heavier side. He had a solid weight, I think, you know, at the pro day, but then he didn't weigh in at the, you know, not at the pro day. He had a solid
at the combine.
At the combine, but didn't weigh in at the pro day. I think there's some questions there. But at the end of the day, I don't know exactly why. Right? He dropped further. I would have expected him to go a little bit higher. I think there's some concerns. If I was to pinpoint something, I would say there's probably some concerns about his weight and whether or not he could stay at that level that's necessary to continuously compete week in and week out at a good weight. So, I don't know. We'll see, man. I expected him to go higher. But, you know, he's up there in Cleveland. He gets an opportunity to showcase his ability. And I think he could truly develop into a starting – you know, offensive lineman, and if he can control the weight and all that stuff, I think he could be there for a while.
Yeah, and he lands in a good position, and I say that because right now, going into the season with the Browns, you already have basically two starters in at the offensive tackle position that been starting for the Browns for several years, and Dredrick Willis and blanking another guy's name, but the right tackle out of Michigan State, He's in a position, he can kind of sit behind some guys he can learn. And also he can kind of evaluate what he needs to do to kind of not get thrown out there right away. He can kind of sit back, learn, figure out the flow of things, and just kind of work on himself to be a better player. Obviously, like you say, I feel like you say, he probably dropped due to kind of some weight concerns. If you start talking about weight concerns for a big guy, those concerns kind of have to lead into, you know, nutrition. And the bigger thing is just working out. Like, you know, is he a guy that works out at the level that he needs to be to keep himself in shape? Or is he a guy that's kind of just working out to get himself in shape for this certain situation, which is the season or you know, pro day combine type of deal? So obviously those concerns probably most likely led to him kind of falling a little bit. But in my mind, he's a great talent, got great feet for a big guy, really long arms, brings the power in a run game. So I feel that the Browns really stole one there. They got him in the fourth round for a low price. He'd have a chance to develop. If anyone goes down, he'd be able to kind of plug in and not skip a beat. I feel like eventually here, we'll be talking about DeJuan receiving a really big contract for his play on the offensive line. I feel like he definitely would be capable. So he does, but he just in this position where he's going to have to show it a little bit longer, kind of show that, you know, kind of learn a little bit more, maybe learn what his body needs to, what he needs to ingest in his body, what he needs to get out of his body when it comes to working out. Just kind of get into that tune of things a little bit more, and I think it'll all work out for him.
No, so you have the Browns going for the Buckeye offensive lineman. So you have the Eagles are clearly focused on Georgia defensive lineman.
clearly focused
on Georgia defensive lineman. The Browns seem like they're really focused on Ohio State offensive lineman. So we'll see if they have a matchup. We'll see how that.
Hey, give my guys a couple years, man. But, hey, man, but we see what DeJuan did against Georgia, the defensive line. Nolan Smith was out there, right? What's his name? What's the guy? The number nine pick, Carter. Jalen Carter was out there. He licked the par. I mean, he didn't miss a beat against those guys. So, he's definitely – he has the ability. Obviously, those guys went higher in the draft. But in that game, when they played against them, you know, he it was no issues for DeJuan. You know, once again, we know he has it, you know, due to the draft is a tricky situation. You know, some people love you for certain things, people hate you for certain things, and scouts, and they start talking to everyone in the building. So someone in the building maybe has some unflattery things to say about DeJuan. Maybe that's why he feels, you never know. It's just a tricky thing to kind of put your finger on. But hey, he's in the NFL now. He's with my team. So, I'm hoping, twisting my fingers, that he'll figure it out, and they will, you know, eventually get that production out of him.
So, two offensive linemen go in the draft out of Ohio State. So we lose two offensive linemen, right? And then we bring a new guy in.
We lose two tackles in the center.
There we go. Three offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And they brought in this guy Josh Simmons from San Diego State. Transfer from San Diego State just here recently. And you could talk a little bit more about his stats. But what I want to tee up is this, though. Right, so it's after spring. We've gone through spring. After spring. They've evaluated what we have. Right, and we talked about this spring. You know, there's going to be a battle at, you know, the offensive line positions. The right tackle position is one to look out for. They bring in a new offensive tackle. And this is my view. With very limited information. I'm not asking coaches at Ohio State or nothing. I'm just watching, spectating, and following breadcrumbs, right? So after spring, after you get a chance to evaluate your young guys who are going to be stepping into those offensive line positions going into the fall, you bring in a guy with some experience out of San Diego State, who, in my opinion, who knows what he develops into or whatever, but it's not like he was, you know, he might have been one of the better guys in the transfer portal, but it ain't like they just brought in, you know, the next great offensive lineman, right? And he probably got some NIL, some solid NIL money to make that transfer. So to me, it leads me to believe that there's a lack of confidence in the offensive lineman. It could be a depth move, but I think you know there's some concern. There's some concern out there at the offensive lineman position, particularly that right tackle position, to see, you know, who's going to be that guy moving forward.
Yeah, so let's recap here for the listeners here. So in the spring, basically, like I said, we lost three offensive linemen, both offensive tackles in our center. Obviously, all three got drafted. Pretty good players. Left tackle for us, we have Josh Fryer. He goes over to left tackle. He was basically our sixth offensive lineman last year. He's kind of played all over the place, right, left tackle. Two seasons ago, he had an injury. But the year before that, he's kind of in that same spot. We kind of play him tackle in several different spots. So, you know, he's kind of sensible guy to kind of fill in a role. They say, hey, you want to move to left tackle? We kind of need you over there. He said, yep, obviously that's where the big money is at. So he goes to left tackle, and I think they feel pretty good about him in that spot. We had some guys kind of competing for that center position. Then also in the spring, we had two guys kind of competing for that right tackle position with Zion Miloski, who's a third-year player out of the state of Indiana, four-star offensive lineman. And then also Tegra Master T, helps with that last name, Shibola, who's in his second year off the tackle as well. And then both those guys, Zen and Tegra, are competing at that right tackle position. You see them a couple practices that we went to in spring game. They both are rotating with the ones. And, you know, to me, I felt like they were doing a fair job. Obviously, they're younger guys. And obviously, I'm not in the film session, right? So even when I see them block a guy, I can't really say all the time they're blocking the right guy, right? But, you know, to me, they both seem like they, you know, had their head in the right position. When you seen them kind of locate their guy, they were able to kind of do a fairly good job. Obviously, this is practice. We're talking about Ohio State defensive line. So, yes, they did lose some battles, right? They did give us some plays.
They lost a decent amount of battles, to be honest.
But I definitely feel like both of those guys, I think they both are both 6'6". They're both over 300 pounds. So, we're talking about guys that has the size to do it. And then they bring in Josh Simmons, who's also a 6'6 offensive lineman, 300-plus pounds, who has more experience. He just started 13 games at San Diego State last year for them. What is San Diego State? The Aztecs or something like that? I don't know. Aztecs played 13 games for them. He has some history with our offensive line coach, Justin Fry. Basically, in the articles that you read, Justin Fry was recruiting Josh Simmons to come to UCLA when Justin was there and he was still coming out of high school. So they had some history there, and they just kind of told this guy, he's been 6'6", obviously over 300-plus pounds, quick feet. So he's definitely a guy that could come in and basically right away get some experience, some depth to that right tackle position. And it's going to be interesting. Like, you know, how this competition is going to play out? Because there's a couple of concerns. I'm going to throw out the concerns. Right away, Josh, in the first article you read, he led his team in penalties, 16 penalties on the season.
That
was
good.
That's quite a bit. Last year, the person who had the most on our team, DeJuan Jones, had 8. He had 16. So he had double that amount. So that's a lot of penalties, just to be frank. I'm not, obviously, didn't watch the games. I don't know if there are holding calls he's getting. Is he jumping off sides? Never remember snap count. I don't know what those penalties are, but 16 is quite a bit.
It's a lot of penalties.
So it's interesting. It's really interesting. Like, you know, obviously, they waited to spring to bring this guy in. And so, obviously, it must be something there. I personally feel like I saw enough out the young guys that I feel like they're essentially they would have been capable of getting the job done. But obviously, I'm not on the coaching staff. You know, my paycheck is not tied to the offensive lineman's performance. I'm just a fan, watching, looking for certain things. So, so they definitely made a move and brought this guy in. So it's going to be exciting to see. This just came to my mind too. So I read his transfer article that, you know, he's committed and things of that nature. They said he got a transfer portal in February, and now we're looking at May. So it's kind of interesting. He obviously missed spring ball this year, right? Didn't commit anywhere, so he didn't play any spring ball anywhere. You know, he has some time, but, you know, what type of shape is the guy in? You know, like, what are you doing for 3-4 months that, you know, where the season ends in early January? So what have you been doing for the last – essentially four. What have you been doing in 2023, you know, to kind of keep yourself in shape? I don't know what that looks like for kids that's in the portal, but it's definitely worth a question on, you know, where guys are at before they kind of come in into these situations. So,
yeah, I think it is. You know, ultimately, I mean, even Josh Simmons coming from San Diego, so he's still a relatively young guy. I think he was, was he a redshirt freshman
or something? Yeah.
It's still kind of a young player. It's almost, especially with prior history as someone that, you know, the coach here was recruiting, right? You know, there's something that he liked about him. The guy, even with 16 penalties, now I'm going back on what I said before, kind of, but even with the 16 penalties, he has some decent experience. He was a young player. You know, you as a coach, you look at this stuff and say, oh, yeah, we can improve here. You know, you kind of know what you feel like you can impact as a coach as well. So they got a good enough amount of tape to be able to say, okay, you know, we probably not as concerned about these things because we can help there. But, yeah. You know, obviously it brings in another level, some more depth at the position, some more competition at the position. And like we talked about before, you don't want to go into the season with an issue at offensive line and uncertainty at the quarterback position.
Right.
That's a quick way to derail all the talent at receiver and running back immediately.
Yeah, right? Bad combination. Right.
That is a terrible, terrible combination. So, you know, we'll see how the young man does, man. Still, I think that's something to look out for, is that offensive line.
Sure. It is. And it's funny enough that, you know, you bring this up, and we was kind of talking about a little bit before the show here, is that, you know, Ohio State has really done a lot of work in the transfer portal. I think, you know, it's like he's the seventh guy to come in on the transfer portal. Also, this past week, Lorenzo Styles, who's the older brother of Sonny Styles, has committed to Ohio State. He was playing wide receiver at Notre Dame. And he said he committed to Ohio State. He planned on switching positions to the cornerback position. So that'd be, you know, it's interesting. But, you know, we talk about seven guys. So far it's like, I think we did the math. It's two offensive linemen. We had an interior offensive lineman commit to Ohio State earlier this year. We have a long snapper. And then it was like, three DBs or something like that.
Yep.
And then we also had a quarterback. Yeah, quarterback also come in the transfer portal as well. So Ohio State is definitely doing their due diligence. And like, you know, if we got question marks around the position, like we're not about to sit around and kind of see if guys develop. Like they're being very proactive and going out there and trying to getting guys as well, which is kind of plus and minuses to it, in my opinion, but what's your thoughts on that?
It's plus and minuses to it, but it's kind of a little bit of a luxury. Before, when you lost the guys at a position, you were thin at the position. You just played the guys you had. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. This is all we got. We're going to play guys and that, and we're going to get these guys ready to go. We're going to get these walk-ons ready as well, you know? But now it's like...
Weakest link. What's the weakest link?
we're gonna get everybody lined up. English class to run. But now it's like, you know, if we're thin at a position, though, if we don't feel confident at a position, we can add more depth, we can add more competition. You talked about the guys on offense. On defense, it seems like some of the guys they brought in as DBs could really start. You know, like these are guys who started where they came from and perform. So, they're not just bringing guys in for depth, for sure. They're bringing guys in to truly be able to come out there and play immediately, which is a new wrinkle. And it's one of those things where you have to evolve with the evolution. But, you know, you got to be careful because you keep looking at guys outside the program. It could impact your...
The guys that's in the program, right. So you're building some type of culture. You have a culture. Like as a team, as a head coach, you want to have some type of culture. Obviously, Ohio State has a culture where we're going to be really good in the Big Ten. We should be the number. We should have the best talent in the Big Ten off the rip. So we plan on going out there and winning all these games, and then get to the national level. And we want to compete there as well, right? We're getting guys from across the country, 4 or 5-star guys. And we plan on getting to those games and really being able to compete with those guys and not trying to get to those games and hope the ball bounce our way and win the game, right? So, but when you start bringing in these guys, these young guys, and obviously everyone was once a young guy, and you sometimes, even no matter you're 5-star or 3-star, whatever type of recruit you are coming into a big program, you need usually some time to learn, figure out, okay, this is the things I need to do to be a good player. And then, two, just kind of also learn how to, you know the playbook, what I'm looking at, keys and things of that nature, what techniques that I didn't have to do in high school that I really need to do now. And you want that time to develop. And then just because you're developing, you don't want to just see your coach like, well, I'm developing, I'm learning, I'm trying to get better at these things. And then before I know it, there's a guy coming in from the SEC, the Pac-10 or something like, well, Pac-12, whatever, coming in. And this guy had his chance to develop. He developed at his school. Now he's here. And I no longer get that chance to develop. And because they just basically plucked the guy and dropped him over my head. And I was kind of doing the right thing, trying to learn, trying to develop, trying not to jump in the portal, trying to be here and develop. And essentially you go out your way to make sure that I'm replaced. So it's definitely tricky. Definitely tricky. I know.
It's tricky. Things happen faster now than they used to, and it's you mentioned something that, you know, when guys transfer, a lot of times the fans react with, he didn't want to compete. Like, he lost and didn't want to compete. He didn't want to continue to compete. Even former players or current players in the NFL. When I was in, I think Tyrann Mathieu or somebody tweeted the other day, when I was, you know, all these great guys played ahead of me. I had to compete. Mm-hmm. I had to compete to get my spot. But it's kind of like, you trying to compete, and then they're like, we're not waiting for you to get there. We're just going to bring somebody in to play. And from the outside looking in, it's like, well, you got to compete and win the spot. But it's not that simple. This isn't a perfect science, right? It's not like the coaches are all-knowing, and they can identify. They bring a guy in, and they can identify, okay, this is what this guy's actually going to develop into being, and we know what he's going to develop, so we're going to play the best guy. The best guy does not always play. That's reality. Mm-hmm. If the best guy always played, then Joe Burrow would likely have still been at Ohio State. But the reality is, you don't know what Joe Burrow is going to develop to. Like, there's no way to know. You can only look at him at what the circumstances were at that time. And then if he sustains an injury, then that has to factor in, because it's a competition. If you're hurt, you can't compete.
Right. Can't compete. So,
it's a tough thing, but what it shows is that everything happens faster. Development has to happen faster. And it's also hard to develop you if you're not getting on the field as well.
Yeah.
So, it's a tough thing to navigate.
It's tough, man, because, I mean, I think we all know guys who's maybe just not the best at practice. Like, they're trying to do the right things, but maybe they're just not that impactful. But for every reason, you pitch this person in a real game situation, and all of a sudden, they just a gamer. Like, everything just kind of clicks, and they're able to make those plays that you seen them make it in high school. That they're actually able to do it, and you never get it on the next level because
on the flip side, there's some guys who aren't really good at practice. Some guys who are really good at, they even figured out. They figured out the practice script. They know every time we do third and long, third and medium, it's going to be 36, 37, 38. They got used to what the offense does, and they can pick the ball off. They can figure that stuff out. We get to the game, 36 come, they getting picked on. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is. And it's just hard to – it's not easy, and this is making it tougher. And then you have coaches – Whose job on the line? Who are used to developing
guys
2 years by their junior year, they're ready to go, right? But now that guy don't develop immediately, he may be gone, or you may be peeking in a portal to get a guy who's already developed, who got developed by somebody else, and you're not even developing a guy that's here that you recruited. You know, that was a 5-star, 4-star guy. So, it takes a different – I think it takes a different type of coach, or it takes the current coach to evolve to be able to quickly get guys up to speed, understand, the ins and outs. It's not an easy task.
It's not easy. It's rough. Like, the transfer portal, like we know, it's rough. Fan base wise, you kind of don't want to hear it. Like, you don't want to hear about playing a guy while he developed. Like, no, you don't want to hear it. You want to see him go out there and perform. And if this guy's not performing, then where's the next guy? Because I know we got another guy. And also with the transfer portal, we're Ohio State. Why we just didn't spend more money on getting the guy that we needed to play this role so we could win these games? So it's definitely rough. But it's going to be interesting to see in the fall. Like, the fall camp obviously going to be huge. Obviously, we want to kind of dive in on this offensive line situation. It's like it was a tight situation, explosive situation, a lot of guys, a lot of people. And now it's just even more added to the fire. Because in my opinion, you bring a guy in like that at the transfer portal, I mean, do you have to play him? I mean, like, you most likely got some type of NIL deal for the guy. Do you have to play this guy? I mean,
You don't got to play him. He can hop right back in that transfer portal after the season. Like, you don't got to play him. He got his money. It could be a depth move for the year. It could be a guy that you like moving forward. But, I mean, you don't have to play him. Now, you risk him going back into the transfer portal if you don't play him. But in that case, I mean, you have other guys that you hopefully are continue to develop, and they didn't hop in the portal. So, it's, you know.
Well, let's talk about this, though, because, I mean, this kind of going into a whole new different path. But I had to say this, though. So, now we talk about Josh Simmons. Obviously, he's off the tackle. He didn't commit somewhere right away. So, we assume he got some money, but not maybe a ton. But let's talk about the guys that's spending money on the NIL. Right, because this is kind of an investment for them. So when what's his name that left from Ohio State, the quarterback, is it Ewers that went to Texas?
Quinn Ewers.
It was a lot of you know, basically he had came to Ohio State, made a lot of money in NIL. Then he went to Texas the following season. Basically came in early. I don't know, the weird situation. It's like a weird situation where it's like no way he could play at Ohio State right away, like the way he came in. But still, he left and went back to Texas, and basically it was kind of rumors. Like, you know, they was talking about kind of quarterback competition when he went to Texas. And like, whoa, 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 quarterback competition. Like, I just gave this guy a lot of money. And I want him on the field for the sake of my marketing. That I just basically gave this guy my marketing budget. So he needs to be on the field. So once he says something around Texas, it actually means something. And not coming from a backup. It's coming from a player. It's definitely a factor. So same thing with the NFL. You know, you guarantee a guy $30 million over the 2-3 seasons. He's like, playing. He's playing. Like, he's playing. Good or bad, he's going to play because I owe him money. I'm going to see he's going to go out there and get knocked out, and he's going to go out there and get knocked out. He's going out there regardless. So this is another factor to things, that if you pay a guy money in NIL to come to your school, what are the boosters, the guys that put up the actual cash to get this guy here? What are their thoughts on the situation?
Yeah,
because they got to have a thought. I mean, they deserve a thought. Nah.
There's a difference between getting that offensive lineman to come to your school with some money and getting that quarterback to come to school with some money. That's a different amount of money. That offensive lineman money and that quarterback money is two different. That offensive lineman could not play.
It's different.
But whatever they have to get to give Quinn Ewers to show up, Quinn Ewers is playing. Like, he's playing. We're getting at least 1 year out of this guy. Like, this is decent money. But yeah, it has to be a factor because you've invested resources. So we gotta, if we invest this much, it's asset management at this point. If we invest this much, we have to get some return on our investment. It's business now, and that's the business of football has grown. To what college football has grown, right? So we put the money in. We got to get some ROI. Maybe we pay this offensive lineman a couple, you know, he gets $75,000 or something. I don't know how much a guy would be going for. But say he gets that money and he's extra depth, you know what I'm saying? A guy gets hurt, he comes in, he plays, or he starts. Who knows? But either way, that's solid return on the investment. But if you go get Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State, right? There's been rumors that USC was trying to get him. If they go get him out of there, I don't care if there's another guy who looks like he could be. There's not, but if there's another guy who looks like he could be that same level of talent, I'm playing a guy who we spent all this money on, and that's just the reality of it.
But what's that? But like you said, we can't say what that dollar figure is. So if they had to get off of the tackle for $20,000, maybe that $20,000 is enough to say like, no, he has to start. So we could go to this company again to get maybe $50,000 for the next guy that's a bigger player, bigger talent. But now we just kind of we built that rapport with this company that your marketing dollars went to this guy. We actually got this guy on the field. We actually, you know, we got him in 11 Warriors, and you know, we let him dot the I at the end before the game. You know, whatever it is, but you know, it matters, man. So you know, is it once you bring the guy in, is it a done deal? Like we don't know. We're spitballing here, but.
It's not, because that rookie offensive lineman, I mean that freshman offensive, that young offensive lineman also got paid to get to the school too. So, right, like that guy who came.
I don't know. Man. I mean, maybe in a couple years, yes, for sure. But maybe not right bread, now,
man.
Bro.
They all got a little. They all got like a underwear deal or something, man. They got they got something. $1,500 and some movie passes or something, man. They got free Netflix or something. There's deals out there for these guys, for real. But yeah, it's a good point though. It is a factor. It will impact. But the other thing is, it is Ohio State. Ohio State has one thing going for them, is that it's also Ohio State. So when you're coming from San Diego State, even if you're coming from Ole Miss, or you're coming from some of these other schools, Syracuse, all the, you know, different transfers, there's a draw not only to get some money, but also to be able to go out there and play at Ohio State. So, yeah, you do want to get a spot, a real spot to play. But if you do play at Ohio State, now you're talking real opportunity to get to, you know, go to the NFL, to be showcased at the kind of the highest level of college football. So, you know, that factors in too. There's a lot of factors out here. A lot of factors.
Yeah. It is, man. But, I mean, obviously, we'll see how it plays out. It'll always be exciting to see how things go. And we're going to be here to watch it. We're going to be here to talk about it. We're going to debate a little bit, right? And it's going to be fun. At the end of the day, we just want the best for our Ohio State Buckeyes when it comes down to it. Right. So, once again, shout out to our sponsors, BetOnline. They're there for all your gambling needs. This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chindi Chekwa, and we will catch you guys next time.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. OH.
Ayo.